If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Are going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Sheikh Chabi, since we are talking about some of the Islamic laws according to Ayatollah Khamenei regarding medical conditions and scenarios, let me ask you a question related to the brain death. Well, some patients, as we all know, suffer from irreversible brain damage, which results in the disappearance of all kinds of neurological activities associated with deep coma, plus inability to respire and response to all motor sensory stimulations. In such cases, Sheikh Javid, it is not probable at all to restore these activities. And the heart could only work temporarily by itself with the aid of a respirator.
Sure.
This condition, which is called in medicine as the brain death, does not continue more than a few days or even hours.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
So on the other hand, there are other patients whose lives can only be saved by the transplantation of organs to them being taken from those who suffer from brain death.
Yes.
All right? So is the use of organs taken from such patients, the brain dead people, patients, for this purpose permissible?
Well, if the removal of the organs from the patient described in your question does precipitate his death, which is not, of course, permissible, it is not permissible according to Islam or according to any religious authority, because it should not precipitate or should not hasten the death of individual. So if removing an organ does have such an impact on someone's life, bringing about his death, it is absolutely forbidden. Otherwise, if the removal of such organs is made with his prior permission, because permission is one thing, if he gives a prior permission that one of his organs may be removed to be used and to save the life, the respectful life of another person, then it is permissible and there is no objection to such a thing, to removing his organ. But that condition has to be taken into consideration. Removing an organ should not precipitate the death of an individual. And as long as someone's heart is beating and pumping blood, that individual is considered to be alive, and it's not permissible to remove the respiratory system or the life support machine or whatever, and it's necessary to do everything possible to keep him alive and to keep his heart beating.
I see. So, Sheikh Javid, what is Ayatollah Khamenei's view on undergoing plastic surgery?
Well, Ayatollah Khamenei says that there's no harm in it and it is permissible. Plastic surgery is a kind of reconstructive surgery. It's aimed to make a person more, you know, appealing, more maybe
beautiful. Yes.
And it can be, it is a kind of cosmetic surgery.
Yeah, some of them are not necessary, Sheikh Javid.
Yeah, they are not necessary.
But they still do it.
They still do it.
To beautify themselves, for example.
To be more presentable, you know, to look more presentable. They do it. And of course, Ayatollah Khamenei says, and even other religious authorities are of the view that there's no harm and there's no objection to someone undergoing the surgery.
I see. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much. So let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away. La ilaha
illallah, Allahu Akbar. The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and newly asked questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker in the program. And the topic is Islamic laws about the medical issues, according to Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javid, you know, oftentimes we hear the word emergency or very close related to that term, necessity.
Sure.
And, you know, whenever it comes to, you know, scenarios and cases, sometimes, you know, we say that when or in times of an emergency or necessity, the rules change or sure. they become inflexible.
Yes.
Basically. So we have noticed the recurrence of the use of this word, necessity or emergency, as a condition to allow the examining doctor, for example, to touch or look at the body of a woman. What does it mean when we say necessity, and what are its limits?
Well, what makes it necessary to look at or touch a woman's body is confined to what the diagnosis and treatment of the illness require.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As to its limits, it's judged by the degree of the need for it. Now, this is the short answer. And of course, we as rational agents quite well understand that necessity is something decided by the urf or the custom.
Mm-hmm.
When there is an ailing person or a woman, for example, you as a male doctor, you cannot treat her, and there's no woman doctors or female doctors to do the job, of course. So you cannot diagnose her her disease or the cause of her disease without touching certain parts of her body. And of course, generally speaking, you know, all parts of a woman's body are private parts, according to Islam. So it's not permissible for a man to unnecessarily touch a woman's body. And of course, if it is driven by necessity, it becomes permissible.
Mm-hmm.
And necessity is not something decided or determined by the Islamic Sharia. It is decided by the individual himself, mm-hmm. and by people.
And that even particular by, scenario.
In that particular. So it differs from scenario to scenario.
Uh-huh, I see.
And there's one thing I want to add.
Yes.
And for example, as long as a man doctor can use gloves, he cannot touch a woman without gloves.
Mm-hmm.
If wearing gloves, if he can do the job by wearing gloves or maybe using a mirror and looking at the mirror and not directly looking at the body of the woman's body, so he should wear gloves, special gloves,
mm-hmm.
and also look at the mirror so as not to look directly at the woman's body.
I see.
And especially private parts, of course. So if there are alternatives, he should use the alternatives. Otherwise, in the case of absolute necessity, he can touch her body.
Mm-hmm.
He can, see her body. And the necessity is actually makes it permissible.
I see. And the next question is somehow related to this, but I'm asking for, is it permissible for a woman doctor this time to touch and look at the private parts of another woman for the purpose of medical examination and diagnosis?
Again, I would say that it is the same answer. You know, it is not permissible to touch or to look at the private parts of another woman for the purpose of medical examination, unless it is necessary. So again, I would say that based on the opinion of the religious authorities, including His Eminence Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, it's not permissible unless it's necessary.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers. We talked about some of the Islamic laws related to medical issues, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, in this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر